Dr.
If
Sun.
everybody's muted. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will continue today with our reading of Luisa's correspondence, her letters, trying to find the teaching of the divine will in them as she writes and she corresponds with many different people, most of them religious. Today we are going to go to 59.
Okay, do you want me to start reading? Okay. Fiat, my good daughter in the divine volition. I felt pity in reading your letter, in hearing of your painful state. Nor could I forget about a daughter of our venerable father and mine, who was so generous to me during the last months of her life down here. And miserable as I am, I could not forget about your sacrifices, writing to me in such a painful period for all of us. Even less could our lovable Jesus forget of your sacrifices made for him as you left everything in order to give yourself completely to Jesus. You cannot deny that with all your heart, you wanted to give yourself completely to Jesus. It is true that you have made a few little escapes from his arms, busying yourself with other things, and that you have not been firm and constant in what you yourself had promised Jesus in certain rushes of your heart. But Jesus looked and still looks at the gift you gave him. Moreover, gifts are cherished with care and looked upon as one's own things. Therefore, Jesus will not let your gift escape. Be sure, my daughter, Jesus loves you and wants you good and holy. Do not listen to the enemy who would want to snatch the gift from the hands of Jesus. Do not pay attention to doubts or anything which is not peace. These are things of the enemy, rags of hell, not of Jesus. His things are peace. The rags of heaven are certainties. Therefore, as a mother who loves her daughter, I beg you to no longer let these infernal rags enter your heart. And if the enemy torments you, determined, say to him, these are things that don't belong to me. I don't want to steal from anyone, not even from hell. And then I repeat to you my usual refrain, unshakable firmness in good. Interest yourself in nothing but Jesus and what pertains to your office. In this way, you will shut the door to the enemy, and he won't find a way to agitate you. So I repeat, peace, peace, my daughter. And you will certainly find peace if you look at the divine will in everything. It is the peacemaker of souls and the bearer of peace and sanctity, even down here. Therefore, forget about everything and remember only that volition which, more than a tender and compassionate mother, wants to make her daughter holy and beautiful. And I, together with it, more than a mother, want to regenerate you in that divine fiat and give my life in order to have you as his daughter and mine. I believe you will listen to my pleas, and leaving you no longer in your turbulent will, but in that of Jesus, in which I will see you again very often. In the divine will, I say, your most affectionate mother. Amen. Fiat.
Thank you. You see how Luisa de Guerreta, she teaches the divine will in a very simple way. Her writings here, this correspondence we know is not part of the revelation, it's part of her own understanding of the divine will, of the science of living in the divine will. So this is Luisa, the teacher, teaching us the divine will in this occasion to these sisters. She's a religious sister, that's the title that has here. But also the simplicity of the language that she uses to convey the simplicity of living in the divine will. You know, one of the things that we see with a lot of people disseminating these writings, sometimes we get entangled with so many questions. And people who approach the writings of Luisa Picaretta with the mindset of trying to understand theology, sometimes without having the basics, or trying to understand the divine will from a higher perspective, as we can say. But one of the attributes of God also is simplicity. God is simple, and he will not give us, if he is giving this gift for everybody, he will not give something that is difficult. There are parts in the Book of Heaven where he says, I don't teach difficult things. I am teaching you simple things. I adapt myself to the creature. That's what he says. So he adapts himself to us, to our understanding, to our way of thinking. And we see in the Book of Heaven, there are many places that he uses the image in nature, the sun reflecting his power. And we can see all this through nature. And through that, we can see God's attributes. But Luisa Picaretta is telling us here, basically, that to live in the divine will is very simple. That we should not entertain ourselves with any other things, but to give ourselves completely to Jesus. Now, how do we give ourselves completely to Jesus? Just by uniting ourselves with his will in every single act. That's the simple way to do it. And in the Book of Heaven, there is a passage that we just read on the recordings last week, and it's from November 13, 1927. And our Lord Jesus reveals to Teresa of Gaveta that he says, what my fiat is by nature, it wants to render creatures by virtue of its continuous act. So imagine everything, imagine or look at the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two natures, two wills, human and divine. And everything that God is by nature, basically he's saying, the will of God is able to render the creature by the divine will acting in the creature continuously in a constant way without any gap. So we can say what the Blessed Mother is by grace, the creature is able to become by the divine will acting or operating in the soul. This is what he's saying, our Lord Jesus. What my fiat is by nature, it wants to render creatures by virtue of its continuous act. When he says its continuous act, meaning by my will continually acting, living, operating in the creature. So what the Blessed Mother is by grace, we can become by continuously being united to the divine will. And when Luisa Picarreta mentions here in this letter to this sister that she has to be constant, that she has to persevere, that she has to be firm, not busying herself with anything else, not escaping from the arms of our Lord Jesus, from his will, by busying herself with other things, basically not being entertained by the world, but being entertained by God. The creature being not distracted by the world, but being distracted by God, living in God. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but just think about that. That what God is by nature, he wants the creature to become by this way of living. And it takes time to understand this and all of that, but we need to really, first of all, when we approach these writings, we either believe or not believe. If we are seeking just to question and to trying to understand our human questions, or to satisfy our human understanding, it will be difficult. But if we approach these writings with that simplicity and that constancy of always wanting to advance in this way, not being distracted by even by our own reflections, but letting the divine will just do its work in us by allowing the divine will to flow every day in the simple acts that we do over and over and over and over. Then we will experience what Luisa Picarreta is asking this sister to do. We will experience that peace, because the fruit of the will of God operating in the soul is bringing peace to the soul, orders. It generates peace, it generates orders. And this goes in tune with what the Catechism tells us. I think it's 376, that in the beginning there was, when Adam was created in this state of grace, everything was harmony in himself. Basically, it was peace reigning in him and among him and Eve, among him and the whole work of creation and with God. But because we live in this human state that we are, after the fall. We tend to be distracted and to have this, all these questions before we take time to really meditate or to give ourselves to the will of God so that the will of God may operate in us. And really, to live in the divine will is not really a matter of understanding what everything, every single thing, from the greater act to the least of the acts, what happens. Our Lord tells us what happens. But here we are called to persevere, to have that constancy, and also to understand what was that original state of holiness. Because really, to enter into this way of living is to go back to that original state of grace and holiness, in which Adam and Eve were constituted by God and consisted in them receiving God's love and them returning God's love through everything, being aware of God's love in that. So I think one passage that we really also have to go and meditate over and over and over and over, it's a beautiful passage, is this passage from volume 33 of the Book of Heaven. Is December 10, 1933, is that famous and beautiful passage in which our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta the first word that Adam pronounced as he fell is the fresh breath of God being infused into his nostrils, and how understanding really how Adam was corresponding in everything. And in there we see the simplicity of living in God's will, we see the beauty of living in God's will, and then that should bring that peace to us, and it should help us to really focus and live our days immersed in that will of God, in this sanctity, which is the original way of holiness that God designed and created for all the human race to live in, but it was lost through the fall of Adam. You see that Bishop Picaretta mentions here again these phrases that be firm, unshakable in doing good. And then she says, interest yourself in nothing but Jesus and what pertains to your office. So, of course, she's talking to this nun, but these letters also, they speak to us. Because what's your office? This is telling us, do not interest yourselves. We have to interest ourselves only in what pertains to our vocation, basically, to our office. First of all, as baptized, we are set apart for God. So, to be basically an extension of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ through this gift, our Lord Jesus being able to repeat his life through us, through the acts, as he says, continuously, not in gaps, but continuously. So just look at your own office, you look at your own vocation, and try to immerse yourself in that way of living, living your vocation now in union with God's will. And in that way, this way of living will become a reality. Because if God wants to give this gift to all of us, that's what we have to do, to live it in our own vocation. I have mentioned many times that you don't need to become a priest, you don't need to become a nun. If God has called you to be a married person, you don't need to become a priest or to become a nun to live in the divine will. This gift is for everybody. Living it, exercising it in that vocation that God gives us, and the simple work, and then that we do, and then everything becomes a prayer. Everything becomes a prayer. But first of all, we have to have this approach to believe that what our Lord Jesus is saying in the Book of Heaven is really truth, and then to approach it with that faith and just with that simplicity and childlike trust that will bring us to the point of really possessing the gift of God operating in us. Another term that is beautiful here that I see, not many times we see this, but Luisa Picarreta compares the divine will as a mother's. It's above all, above everything. Forget about everything. Remember only the divine volition, the divine will, which more than a tender and compassionate mother wants to make her daughter holy and beautiful. This holiness and is with the unholiness of God, basically what happens in our baptism. Holiness means to be set apart for a certain purpose. So in baptism, we are set apart for God, to love God, to serve Him, and also, as the Catechism says, to return all creation back to Him. So praising God, adoring Him with His own love, with His own beauty, with His own majesty, with His own truth, with everything that He is, with His own light and everything that He is, just giving ourselves to Him and not escaping, not doing anything else, but remaining in that union with God. I think it's in that same passage of volume 23, November 13, 1927, the Lord Jesus says the following. At the end of that passage, it says, not knowing the divine will in depth, they, people, occupy themselves with other things concerning my glory and their good, and they put my will aside. So these are people who, the Lord is talking about people who want to do good, and they want to occupy themselves with giving glory to God. But he says, but they, even though they want to do that, they put my will aside. And the divine will is the source of everything that exists. It's like we want to, or these people that he's referring, they put my will aside, wanting for a more favorable time when the paternal goodness will please to first make known and then give a good so great and kingdom so holy, which they will not even dream of. So they, even though they want to give glory to God and everything, they put aside the very essence, the first thing we should enthrone as the center of our life. Look at the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his very center is the will, from which all his acts emanate. And this should be with us. So when Luisa Picarreta says in these letters to basically leave everything in order to give yourself completely to Jesus, to the divine will, how can we give ourselves only completely and entirely to our Lord if it's not through every single act? Because in the saints of the past, we see that they did their prayers to a certain time, and that's very good. They have their own schedule, their own routine, and everything. However, they don't give in that way of living, they don't give themselves completely, entirely to God, because there is not that constant awareness of wanting to give themselves in love to God, to correspond God. So this now doesn't matter which vocation you are. What matters is now having the constant awareness of you wanting the divine will to operate in every single act, from the greatest to the least. And then, of course, becomes now not only for yourself, but it becomes for all humanity. That's why the Lord says, occupy yourself with me, be attentive, and continue your flight in the divine fiat at the end of that paragraph. So we are called to be not like they, like the others, as he says in this passage, but now we are called to advance, because we are called basically to possess the inner life of the Blessed Trinity in our souls, to enter into that mystery, to let the life of the divine will, to let the inner life of the Blessed Trinity, what we call an intra, to be reproduced in us. So the other aspect is that God gives himself through the gift of faith in baptism. In the first volumes of the Book of Heaven, this is what the Lord says: I am faith. Faith is God. We call them theological virtues because they come directly from God. So God gives himself in the form of faith to the creature. And we have to give ourselves back to God in the form of acts. Continuous acts, so that he can transform us in another image of himself in a mystical way. What does it mean, mystical? Of course, mystical is hidden, but in the interior life of the soul, what is happening? He is fulfilling what he said in the book of Genesis: let us make man in our image. We possess already our his image, but then we will be growing in his likeness. We don't see it. We may not even feel it ever, but this is a reality. And if it is our Lord Jesus who is saying this, we must believe it. That's why we have to approach these writings not with the mindset of trying to understand the theology and theological questions and everything, but with that childlike simplicity, so we may be able to advance in this mystical union with God, the soul uniting with God at every moment. And basically that transmutation that he talks about later in the Book of Heaven, to be transformed. Now we will be transformed not only in what we in him that we eat, in the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, but now we will be transformed by him who operates in us. You know? So let's try to go to the to move on to the next.
I got it. Thank you. To a religious, not wanting to obey means not wanting to do the will of God. And do you think that is trivial? Far worse than doubting, this is the sin of sins. The very saints, the angels, and the heavenly court would say, who is this crazy one, this girl, who wants to act against the will of God, who wants to bring disorder? Because wanting to disobey means opposing the will of God. by saying, I don't want to recognize you. On the other hand, by obeying, if you practice this virtue in order to make Father content, it is a good and holy thing. But if you do it because you recognize in him the authority, the will of God, it is the most precious thing. This is the will of God, and that's enough. It is better to go to hell with the will of God, as it would turn into paradise, because wanting to do his will is a sign that we love him, than going to heaven with our own will, as it would then turn into hell. As far as wanting to go over the past again, no, because the past is past in God, and it would be as though stealing his rights, his own things. If there is something wrong in it, the Lord can let us know with calm. As far as the future, don't worry about it either, because it is not ours, but belongs to God. We must obey and make ourselves saints, not for our interest, but for the glory of God. So banish every doubt, since doubt, fear, and agitation do not come from God, but from the devil. Rather, think of loving and doing the will of God, because with doubts we displease the Lord much more than as if we sinned. My daughter, have you ever experienced a reproach from our Lord Jesus Christ? If you had, you would have seen with how much bitterness he reproaches us, he who is all goodness. And you should see it. Therefore, swear or make a solemn promise that you will never think about doubts again, so as not to disobey and consequently not displease Jesus Christ. Do you think that being destined to write is something which happened just like that, by chance? No. Rather, it is something established by God from eternity, as he had his own purposes. So, know how to appreciate and take advantage of so much dedication. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay. You see, one of the things, I guess, here that she also mentions is orders. You want to go out of the divine will is wanting to go out of orders. And we know that God is perfect order, perfect balance. He says this in the Book of Heaven. Everything in God is basically justice also. And the act of rejecting God's will basically is constitutes a sin, or this is what she is telling, is a greater offense. And this is what happened with Adam, that he rejected that will of God operating in him. Well, the catechism says that he wanted to be God without God. And this is what we are called to go through these writings and through the Book of Heaven as we grow in the knowledge and understanding of the divine science. It's just to learn how Adam lived in the state of grace. That's why I said we should go back to that passage and really meditate and try to learn. And in that simple passage, we will learn that If we learn to operate in this way, is seeing everything basically as a gift from God and corresponding in this simple way, then already we will begin entering into that mystery of loving God and the mystery of the life of the Blessed Trinity living in us. When our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta about this passage, it's beautiful that he says, "My daughter, I too need the field to tell you what the first word was pronounced by the lips of the first creature created by us. You must know that as soon as Adam felt life, motion, and reason within himself, so he felt the very life of God," it says, "the motion and reason in himself. He saw his God before him. And immediately he comprehended that he had formed him." So through the intellect, through the powers of the soul, God didn't have to explain him, "I created out of love for you everything." No, immediately he was able to recognize that because he was in possession of the will of God operating in him. He felt within himself, in his whole being, still fresh, the impressions, the touch of his created hands, the created hands of God. And grateful, in a search of love, he pronounced his first word. "I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life, of this life." Immediately. Then as our Lord goes and explains, and he says, but it was not only the word, but the breath, the heartbeat, the drops of his blood that flow inside his veins, the motion, the whole of his being united together, repeating as though in chorus, "I love you, I love you, I love you." So if we could learn to see ourselves like a symphony, like every one of us is a symphony. You have seen the symphony playing. You see that all of the instruments together, they make beautiful pieces. And every single instrument at the moment, they are essential to make that whole particle, that whole music, that whole song or piece of music, what it is, beautiful. So what the Lord is saying is, it was not only his saying, not only Adam saying verbally, vocally, "I love you, my God and my Father," but with a simple act of palpitating, God was able to hear the sound of that "I love you" through the heart, through the simple heart beating, as he took every breath, every movement. Imagine that just by moving our hands, by virtue of being in that union, God is able to hear forever, "I love you," the "I love you" of the creatures, the "I love you" of every one of us. And that without this union, basically we are robbing God of his glory. But it's not only our vocal prayers, but our whole being. And then if we see that, then we see that that's why the first commandment, you should love your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, with your whole being. Not only with your vocal prayers, but love God with every blinking of your eye, with the act of working, cleaning the house, washing dishes, simple acts, This is how harmonious and how beautiful God created the first couple in the original state of grace. And then not only that, but he says, so the first lesson that he learned from his creator, the first word that he learned to speak, the first thought that had life within his mind, the first heartbeat that was forming his heart was, I love you. I love you. So, of course, he was in the state of grace. He didn't have the need to ask for this and that. God, give me this and that. I need this and that. No. There's only a full and complete and perfect and eternal correspondence of love to God in the simple phrase, I love you. Three simple words. It was not only his vocal prayer, but every step, every breath, every heartbeat, every movement that he did. And then he says, and he felt himself love, and he loved. So he was able to feel. Now we have lost that, what Adam was able to feel because of the fall. That's why we need the gift of faith. God communicates himself to us, so he gives himself to us through these gifts. Especially through baptism, which he begins to reconstruct the interior life, the creature, and he communicates, he gives himself in this way, faith, hope, and charity, because he knows that we are not able to feel, we are not able to see what Adam saw and felt and experienced, but now we are called to live this by faith. And in a special way, to remain in union with his will and taking away all those things that distract us. As Lisa Picaretta mentions, going back to her letter, you know, God is one eternal present. He in God there is no time, he's outside time. And she says, the future doesn't belong to you. This echoes the gospel. Do not be concerned with tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own worries. Don't be concerned with the past because now it's not anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. You learn from those experiences and move forward. And that's why we have the sacrament of confession too. We have the mercy of God ready to embrace us. And going back now to this passage, so Adam was able to feel, he was able to experience the love of God, and he never stop. He says, I love you. It was so long that only when he had the disgrace to fall into sin, he was, then it was interrupted. This communication, this constant union. So that he was becoming what God is by nature. He was growing in the likeness of God by this constant union. So, this is what God wants to restore in us, that constant union with Him. Through the knowledge, so we have the gift of knowledge. And then, after knowing this, which is already a gift, then moving forward into advancing so that we may arrive to the possession of this gift operating in us constantly, continuously, without any interruption. Because in heaven, this is what the saints experience. This is what the blessed experience. The constant union with God. And that's what constitutes their eternal happiness, because they now possess the capacity for joy, for beauty, for love, for light, for everything that God is. So they allow God now, in a way, to unleash everything that He is upon them. And in that, God finds joy. So we can see that in a way, the joy of God is in the hands of the creatures, us. And we have in our hands basically our eternal happiness also, because of that gift of freedom that He gives us. And not only that, but that with that gift of freedom and union with His will, then this gift, because it's a universal gift that is able to embrace everybody, then now on behalf of the whole world, on behalf of each man, of all the human race, if we are faithful to God in this way of living. So we can substitute also use that term that Luisa Picaretta uses, to be firm, to persevere, and to basically to be faithful in living in this way, immersed in God's will. Not only being submissive to God's will, but now being in union with Him, allowing Him to operate in us and His will to flow in every single act. So it really requires, it's a challenge, I will say, for all of us, because it requires for all of us now to be really aware. That we are able to give to God on behalf of all the world, on behalf of all the generations, even those who are not here yet. And we know that God loves the human race so much that He wants to give this gift to everybody. So, understanding this passage, what Adam was doing in the original state of grace, that he was basically giving, adoring God with his own glory, as Luisa Picaretta mentions also in the letter, concerning ourselves with the glory of God, so giving God's own glory to Him, to praise Him. And in this way, if we enter into this approach, we have this approach, then the doubts will be removed, will be banished little by little through the knowledge. God will do His work in us. He will complete the work that He already has begun in us. Just by virtue of us knowing this gift, is a sign already that God is doing His work in us. How fast can He move in each one of us? It depends of the human will of each one of us. How faithful you are in this way of living, how diligent you are to unite yourself with God, to have that constancy, that perseverance, and a little by little understanding this way of living. And it's so simple. It's simple. That with a simple "I love you," to responding God for all the work of His creation. But then also understanding that with His will operating in us, He is completely pleased I don't know if you have seen or you are familiar with those boxes of music that you, they have a little something in the on the side. So you turn it on and on and on, and then you release it and it keeps playing over and over and over and over and over. Once we enter into this way of living, it's basically everything that we do is saying to God, I love you, 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 for all eternity. God receiving the symphony of that melody from that creature. And what is the thing that keeps that little box going or keeps giving, turning it on is the will of God. Always, always. But I would say you have a chance, go through the book of heaven and try to meditate on that passage again. Because it's very important. It's one of the key passages that we should also like memorize by heart. Because it is going back to the beginning, to the essence, to understand the whole gift, what God wants to restore in the creatures. And hopefully, by realizing what we lost, we may also understand what He wants to give us to restore in us. Before we go, you see in that also in the letters of Luisa used one of the things that I find in those letters is almost the simplicity and the purity of language in her letters. That these letters are very simple, even for those, especially for those who do not know so much about the divine will. And trying to understand what the will of God is, what this divine science is. But you give these letters to people who are just beginning, I think this is also very important, a way for us to promote this way of living and to make it known to others. I wanted to share with you something that I got here, and I think this is very divine will. It's a simple act of adoration, but this little prayer, it reads as follows, and we will finish with this. It says, O Lord, you are the grandeur of all that is grand. You are the beauty of all that is beautiful. You are the kindness of all that is kind. You are better than all that is good. You live in all truth. You vivify all the living. You animate all the movement. You are the energy that resists. You are the energy that activates. You are the energy that gives dynamism. In your presence, the sun dresses with your light. The moon shines with your shadow. The rivers clap their hands. The mountains dance with joy. The streams sing their hymns. The stars shine like eyes on the face of the heavens. All is marvelous and beautiful and perfect in you. Oh, I bow before you, I prostrate myself before you, and I adore you. Amen. To this prayer, I will only add, I will adore you, I will love you with your own light, with your own beauty, with your own shadow, with your own joy, with everything that you are. So let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the prayers and intercession of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, through the hands of Blessed Mother, we may receive the grace to possess the will of God operating in our souls for the praise and glory of God, for the salvation of all souls, and for our own sanctification. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.